But we can already start with a little round, maybe. So I'm Holger, Xenia Janka, and we have very impromptu, like this morning, decided to do a little session. So Xenia arrived yesterday, and I could arrange with my child to actually go for it. And so we would be, I would be first of all interested in making a very quick round on what you are interested in. From, you only heard about Delta Chat or something, but there's various different backgrounds. So we have an idea of what we can talk about, because there's a lot of things to talk about, but we would like to talk about something that makes sense for you. So maybe Xenia can also maybe make the round this way. So, like, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Xenia. My interest in this project is both technical and political. Political because decentralization is good, but it's very hard, and also it's needed in countries where I come from. I'm Russian, and people there reclaim trusted, federated services. So the desire for me is to actually build, grow connections between users and the team that is building this app. So we are doing. I've been doing testing with Russian users since May. Testing offline, online, without knowing who these people are. So this is also very interesting. But then we have a second round that will involve a real-life activist from Ukraine who go to cover journalists, high-risk journalists, or trainers, digital security trainers who train people who go to the war zone, and we'll see how. And if such thing as Delta can be useful, what are the use cases? And, we don't think it will immediately stop the war, but it can help people to better coordinate. And it's true
maybe you can.
So that's why Delta for me was a project that I really wanted to kind of join and look at if this will work for Ukraine. Yeah, identity is an illusion. This is another thing. Okay. So let's speak about that. And then I finish in 2 minutes.
Promise. No, go ahead. It's fine.
Okay.
Take your time.
So I wanted to say that this is kind of a presentation of me, vaguely. I can be this person in the mask that happens very often. I can be this girl that goes for dancing that happens sometimes. I can be this normal person that doesn't have any characteristics. And also I'm sometimes teaching and do research. For all these things, I have a different app, different ways of, or no phone, like on the left corner, like no phone at all, or like this Instagram or whatever, you know. So kind of galaxy of things, how do I deal with it? And actually all the users that I interviewed had this problem. How can we make other people migrate to the app that we use? And in this sense, Delta is giving a very interesting idea of you don't have to, you can just email the person. And you don't have to ask the person, can you install yet another app? For sure, the end-to-end encryption in this case will work only if the other person is using PGP and you imported the, and you have the key of this person. So there should be some process of bridging Delta to PGP. It's possible. It works between K9 and Delta, or Delta and Enigmail. So there are ways. But the idea of that you don't have to actually bind the person to a specific email provider or to a specific interface, it's very promising for this problem. How do we make all people use kind of the same app because of interoperability being absent from a lot of projects? So this drawing, what I wanted to show you is to tell you that all my users that I interviewed had very diverse threat models and very diverse mental models of what they think they have to hide from. Not all these ideas actually corresponded to real kind of risk assessment thing. So if we really assess the probability, a lot of them were exaggerating, a lot of them were underestimating. But this drawing is basically from a Russian activist, anarchist Antifa person, who drew these four crocodiles. The left upper corner is corporations and Facebook apart. The trolls on the right upper corner. The Center Against Extremism, FSB and Police, and fuck knows who, I don't know how to translate it. It's like a potential adversary that is not yet defined. So people are living in the constant idea that there should maybe be another person or another entity that will threaten them. So what are the responses to this problem from, like, to this problem of having multiple identities and multiple adversary? The first kind of thing is what users are doing themselves. And the second is the community response that we are trying to also build upon what users are doing. So this is an idea, an example of what users are doing to protect themselves. This is just a normal, everyday working setup of a journalist that they interviewed. So he's carrying this kit over time, and he has a bunch of tools, and all these little things have security features on them. This is a drawing from a Russian feminist anarchist person who is showing that, like, the encrypted laptop entails and a lot of passwords and Tor and Thunderbird and keys and whatever there. And all this conglomerate of tools just to write one message: can you please buy tomatoes? So this is a real drawing from a workshop that I was doing there, and people think also about privacy because they don't want an advertisement for tomatoes. So this drawing, another representation of threat and ideal kind of situation. What do you think the person is trying to say here with this drawing? What do you think is... So the question that I asked the person was, can you draw me ideal secure communication? The person drew this. What do you think? What is the idea behind? What is happening?
No one, not
communicating. Not communicating?
Not communicating, no one. But the mouth is open, you don't see, but...
We don't see how this person is talking to, or if it's even talking to someone.
Yeah, so what is the cryptographic or, like, tech word behind this?
Steganography.
What is protected on this drawing? But there is something else, like the metadata. Actually, what the person told me is, I'm talking to someone, no one knows what I say, and no one knows to whom I talk.
Or when.
Yeah, or when. Mm-hmm. Then I asked the person, but you still are yourself on the drawing, so we can identify you as the starting point. And he replied, well, you asked me to draw something. Otherwise, my ideal communication would be just a plain, like, blank sheet. So, metadata, without saying metadata, is interesting because the user is not a technical person, but very high risk. Interesting. People are kind of feeling that there is a problem behind the metadata, but they don't use this word. Yeah, and the decentralization matters. Also, from these drawings, a lot of them were representing kind of, look, this is one that I like a lot. Like, we should be protected on the individual level, but also connected in a decentralized way, like a peer-to-peer here. But I also had the drawings with federated visions and other stuff. So even if users that don't exist really, but even if these people who are not like some of us don't have these terms, they care for it. That's why I believe in the solution, some part of the solution that Delta is giving for this. So yeah, that's some steps to the upcoming work that we are going to do with the journalists in Ukraine that go to Eastern Ukraine, and we will test with them how they feel about Delta and what they really need. Because the situation that we thought of would be like a group of people in the field and a person with a desktop sitting and receiving in a safe space, receiving messages, and then the people on the field can just delete the account. And then they create Ephemer account with like an email and a trusted provider, do one mission and then delete everything. And this is something that other apps are not really providing because they are bound to telephone numbers. And for Russians, telephone numbers and Ukrainians is just the death. Because a typical failure or threat, or what Russian government started doing with Telegram, for example, they asked a mobile operator to switch off the function of SMS delivery for some hours. And while this function is off, they reclaim the 2FA code for the person, then go and retrieve it. Like, not go, but the mobile operator is just providing it, and they log in with the Telegram and do whatever. So this is the threat, and there are a lot of other threats that you know here, and I'm sure. So the phone number in Russia is really a very bad idea, and people are not trusting any app anymore. And they started using Wire, by the way. You know Wire? Because Wire gives you this email-based identity, but has a lot of problems, a lot of like usability and security problems. Like you can search by username and see all the people there, even those you don't know. So yeah, that's basically it. I have a lot of examples, but I will not take any more space. So I hope this was somehow useful.
So we try out maybe?
Yeah, let's try,
no? questions to Xenia first, I mean, what she talked about, experiences, I would say.
I have a more technical question.
No, but technical can come separate. I mean, I would like to separate at some point and not talk about cryptography and end-to-end encryption and key verification and all these kinds of things. That it's very interesting, and I'm very happy to talk about it, but I wouldn't like to talk about it in the full group, like in detail at least. Yes?
I'll try, but I think the political and the technological here are inevitably intertwined. I want to ask you and anyone participating in the project, first of all, I like a lot of the ideas I see outlined here, and I would like to know what you, well, answer to this question, what you plan to do on these particular issues that make it, for me, that I cannot recommend DataChat yet, over something like, say, conversation, or memo, when it's not about naming a chat solution, because I think they're fundamentally all broken. I cannot for two reasons. The first one is that the default isn't safe. If the other person doesn't have DataChat, you send an encrypted email. In many cases, it means being identified. And the second point is that I think is linked to the choice of email and PGP. I think one of the most useful features on this super sensitive terrain for exposed people is deniability that comes from preferred forward secrecy, that something is identified on the way, you can say it's not me, and that people cannot prove like 10 years of what you've done and link 10 years of activity to one identity. So with PGP, you usually create one key, and that's the same key used for every session of the communication. With email, in that case, you would create one email address, even if on your own server or decentralized server of someone, but then you will keep using this very same email address. And the more you keep using one email address, the more you will get in touch with people through unencrypted means, the more it will directly help to identify you. So for the cryptography, there is, I think, a fix, which is Omimo, the ratchet, that's old ratchet of Signal that works with XMPP. But for email, I see it as a bit more problematic because having a new email address for every message or every session could do it, but it would imply to have access to an easy creation of email account. And I have no example in my experience of easy creation of email account that doesn't immediately lead to spam. The creation of email address on servers inevitably leads to spam. So do you have a plan for fixing these things and how?
I can try to start saying something. Thanks for the very good point. I mean, I totally see that. My problem is a bit that like each of these topics, you know, has a lot of discussions. I want to clarify one thing. DataChat is not meant as a kind of fully, as a full product suggestion, like everybody should use DataChat. I said this earlier when you were not in the room, that it's not aiming, it's fine to repeat it also. It's basically, it's a new way to think about messaging, and the basic idea is that the current centralized solutions, you know, they don't really allow for any kind of federation. You cannot even run your own messaging server. There's some exceptions, but it's like mostly Signal, Threema, and so on. You can't do it. And you have to rely on one entity. The email system has like 3.5 billion users. It has tens of thousands of very different providers, like commercial and activist, and you can set up your own and whatever. And this has evolved. It's a cooperation between. It resulted from cooperation between many entities in the last 20, 30 years, and it's very established. So anything else, like let's say Matrix. Matrix is the most, some of you know Matrix, I guess? Matrix.org, you know? It's a federated system. It aims at a replacement of email. So it says, we have this whole new scheme, we have forward secrecy, we have this and that and so on. And now everybody should use that. The problem replace the world, that's what it's called, like replace the world systems, is that everything needs to change. Both, you need to have lots of new servers, you need to have lots of new clients and so on. So it's a very difficult move if you're not being like a commercial entity that is very big, and those big commercial entities are usually interested in more centralized and monetizable way of doing things. So the idea is, by using the email servers and the email technology that is already evolved, you know, that we are not actually saying we replace the world. We just say Outlook and Gmail and Thunderbird are not the last word on user interfaces and how you can actually make use of this massive federated ecosystem. So that is this thought, basically, is what is behind like the origin of DeltaChat, which was started by a guy north of Hamburg 1.5 years ago. And he basically wanted to have something else for his 13-year-old daughter. He saw her using WhatsApp, whatever, and he wanted to actually see what can be done. And then end-to-end encryption came through AutoCrypt, which is an independent project between several email writers like Patrick from Enigmail and Vincent from K9 and so on and so on. And so this came about. So the whole thing is more about the approach. And there is, like since last week or so, there is, for example, there are bindings for what are called bindings, so people can write applications in JavaScript using basically the Delta core that does all the kind of initial handshake configuration and so on, and they can have their own user interfaces on top of that, that you can write a new user interface, and, for example, you can have something that avoids any kind of unencrypted communication. Like DeltaChat, if you send a message to someone who doesn't have DeltaChat, then this might be, like for example, to a user that uses RiseUp web interface. Like just somebody using RiseUp web interface, logging in. You can write to this person, and that person will receive a mail. And if that person replies to the mail, you will see it back in DeltaChat, right? So, and that's unencrypted. So that's one point that Jeremy was referring to, that, you know, the default is not to always ensure end-to-end encryption. The default is not always ensuring end-to-end encryption. The default is actually allowing people to communicate. And end-to-end encryption happens when it's possible. Like between two Delta apps, it will just happen. If you use Thunderbird, it will also, like across, like you use DeltaChat on your phone, you write to somebody who has Thunderbird and Enigmail, and it will be end-to-end encrypted between these two applications. And the same is true with K9 Mail, and probably soon some others. Yeah, it's a different topic. So the whole thing is more about the approach, rather than DeltaChat as a finished product that you... where there's certain choices made in DeltaChat, but there's nothing stopping you, it's free software, from actually changing the defaults and saying, no, I want to have an app I can recommend to friends that is compatible to DeltaChat, but it will only allow encrypted communications, for example, right? So, and that is basically a matter of, it's like a lot of things are flowing into these kinds of considerations, which is mainly that people that are currently using it, they want to buy tomatoes or something, you know, and they really don't want to get blocked by the application saying, oh no, you first need to import a key from somewhere or do this in order to be able to write a sentence.
I shouldn't probably follow up on that.
We can do a session about it. I mean, I'm all for splitting because we're too large.
Quickly, that's only one part of the answer. My question was
sure.
More about future, about solving this
yes.
question of identity.
So, yes.
And different keys for different sessions or different identities for
yes.
different sessions.
And there's a
is
lot
there
of thought on this.
The word for that?
Yes, there's a lot of work and thought on this. I just wanted to make, like the chat over email thing is like a, it's like an approach thing. Like it makes sense to explore this area, and DeltaChat is like a kind of the first app to do that. There is some people of you know this because we have already done this, but there is something called verified groups, for example. So we have a group of 18 people resulting from the from the 2 weeks ago session. So if I show you this and you have a configured DeltaChat account, you know, and you scan it, then you will get a message, do you want to join the secure verified group DeltaX, right? And if you say yes, then there's a cryptographic protocol that guarantees that in this group, everything will be end-to-end encrypted and all of the keys are verified. So because this code actually triggers a certain protocol, it's described in a research paper, and then afterwards the two devices will have verified the keys with each other. You might know the fingerprint verification from Signal or other apps. And basically this is the experimental approach to give users a choice about they want to have a group where everything is always encrypted and everything is even key verified. So the provider cannot just exchange the encryption or like tweak it or something like this. It's guaranteed between the devices that only the devices will see the messages. So that is actually also another answer that things like we are exploring this in a certain way because this is respecting one usability kind of principle that we say don't talk to users about keys ever. You know, that's the very unlike PGP also, where like we had a woman, for example, at a usability session in I think half a year ago, and she said after like installing DeltaChat and using it, oh, I didn't know you can use PGP without first listening to 1 hour of explanations. You know, so it's and basically this verified group thing shows that there are ways to construct something that gives a relatively clear, we're going to user test this more, idea on like you have a kind of a safe group in a certain way, and if you change your device or you lose your device, you're basically out of the group. And you have to find one of the 18 members in this group again, and then do the scan show dance again, and then you're part of the group again. But there's no question about do you trust this key, or do you accept this key, or something has changed, are you okay? You know, these kinds of questions are shown in research to not work. Like, you ask these questions, everybody just says yes, and they think they've even fixed it. Like there's a usability study called When Signal Hits the Fan. Mm.
Just wanted to add to Jeremy your question. There is a nice presentation from people behind Sequoia, that is a library for OpenPGP, that claim that they have solved some part of the forward secrecy in OpenPGP, and DeltaChat is like an AutoCrypt are kind of trying to integrate this library as well. So if you are interested, we can send you this.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there were still 2 questions here,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, my question is not technical. Now, you mentioned the idea of using trusted email providers, but in case of a network which is not really helping you, actually a network which is actively fighting against you, the idea of using a trusted email provider basically means that you're already signaling that you're maybe be the problem in itself.
Mm-hmm.
As if I'm in a war zone and I use Autistici or RiseUp or whatever, I'm basically signaling to the rest of the system around me that I'm using a provider which is part of a specific political part. Mm-hmm. While in my threat model, the best thing is to use probably Gmail or
mm-hmm.
mail.ru or whatever it's used by
Gmail,
the locals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can at least mix up with 200 million users that are already using
mm-hmm.
it, and it's much harder for them to block me, because if they block me, they block all the Gmail users at the
yeah.
same time.
That's true.
I agree partly with this. There is a very nice talk by Tan Zuckerman that is called The Cute Cat Theory of Digital Activism, that is saying that it's easier for activists to use platforms that people use to share cat pictures than to use a dedicated activist platform. It's true. But for some reasons, when the collective is mailing within, it's good to have a provider that you trust. For the situations when a journalist is going to the war zone and will send emails to the sources, to the people who are not part of the network, it's maybe better to have a neutral provider, that like Posteo or GMX or something, that will not be targeted as a, but neither a Gmail, you know. Something in between. Not a targeted militant activist, but not Google. You see this gray zone, these providers like Posteo, for example. Okay. It doesn't look like RiseUp for people. It doesn't look like a Gmail either. So I think that our hope is in developing this middle scale kind of providers and not encouraging people to put yet more trust to Gmail. But in I agree that in this user case, it will be a bit red flag for those who watch the traffic. Autistici.
But then, I can add one thing. My example was based on, example, Western world.
Uh-huh.
So Gmail is what everybody uses. So if I want to blend in, I would use the most successful email provider because I know that they cannot really target me because it's hard to target a specific user out of millions.
Mm.
I imagine that if you're doing it in Russia, maybe you're trying to use the most Russian provider. So you're basically into the same
certainly
thing.
Certainly no.
No.
Mm. Mail.ru is suicide.
But the point is, everything gets encrypted anyway, and the metadata.
Yeah, but you can still tweak things. It's not like, even though you cannot maybe read the content of the messages directly, you can still do stuff like suppress messages and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like
metadata,
yeah. And you know, lots of things that if you can avoid it, you should avoid it. Basically.
But in the article,
it was my
okay.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think first time I listened to this project, I think it's a good idea to make a new mail client that is useful for real people in mobile phone. So with this knowledge, I think it's brilliant to take the interface of Telegram, and can use it. This world federated server that is an email server that is all around the world. But I have a suggestion because this problem with the mail server, we know about it and he told it. But if there's people able to use the Telegram interface that is free software for using with email, also the same interface, and this is my suggestion, could be used together for communicate with mail, or it's transferred for the user with some peer-to-peer library, for example, RetroShare, that doesn't need any kind of servers. It could be just people using the same interface without knowing if it's contact with somebody with a mail server or directly with any other server or maybe without internet connection.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, let's maybe mention two more things. We had this 1 week gathering 2 weeks ago in the Black Forest in Freiburg. And there were several developers, and when we started the desktop version, which is going to be currently, it's going to be based on Electron, and we're going to take. Yeah. It's like you always get this. But there are Python bindings, and you can do it in PyQt as well. Like there's several options, you know. Yeah, go for that. And basically, we're taking the Signal UI code of the desktop, but we're using the DeltaChat backend, so you don't need to have a mobile phone. You can just use something on your laptop and do the messaging from there, like even with your friends who might be using an Android app and so on. So it's unlike Signal and Threema and so on. You don't need to have a mobile phone that is online and that helps your desktop. Sorry?
You don't have to bootstrap it with a mobile phone?
Right.
Okay, cool.
You can just directly configure your email account. So, and what you are saying basically is also something that is under consideration currently. So there's people joining where we want to have, when you have a messaging group, that each messaging group has a file storage where members of the group can basically upload a PDF or some photos or some media and so on and so on. And it's shared without a server, without Dropbox or even, you know, it's shared between the devices because if I upload it, it will basically get replicated to the other devices just as if you received a photo or something like this. And for that, there's a collaboration with the DUT project. that is ongoing, a decentralizing archiving solution for 3 years already. And the people like Carissa, who's heading the desktop version, she has been involved in writing the DAT desktop for 2 years. So kind of integrating at this level, like on the client side, on the laptop, you have both a messaging thing, like what you know, the typical messaging user interface, but also kind of a file system view, where you in each group kind of share things, and you can drop in images or files that you want the other group to actually also have, right? And because there's an old blog post, I think from 2015 and so on, 2015 I think it came from some feminists, if I'm not mistaken, and they said to the kind of nerd crypto implementer community, please stop improving messaging or writing yet another crypto thing for messaging, right? Because people in general have a lot different collaboration problems, like sharing resources, and they drop back to Dropbox. I mean, they default to Dropbox or something because they can't really figure out something else to use and so on. And arranging dates, suddenly you use Doodle or something like this. And, you know, all these kinds of like collaboration problems that you try to solve with tools, you end up using very centralized services. So even if your kind of underlying communication thing might be very good or peer-to-peer, whatever, secure and so on, you still need a lot of other things in collaboration. And I think it's a very valid argument, like anything that also in terms of crypto things, that the integration side, like for the user, I think what you also hinted at, the integrating at the device, like at the laptop or at the phone, the various different collaboration problematics into like an open ecosystem tool that allows plugins, open source plugins to exist and complement what the messaging platform can do. So that is something that is actively discussed, and there is James Hathaway and others who are actually, you know, starting to do things from the implementation side. But I don't usually talk about all these kind of a bit more wild things because they're not yet available. You know, there's something that appears maybe beginning next year or something like this. And first of all, we want to get the basic desktop version out. So like end September, beginning October, like in 6 weeks or 8 weeks or so, there should be a download of a desktop version. It's going to be alpha, not even beta. And it's definitely going to work on Linux, probably also on the other platforms, where people can actually start at least to have the chat desktop, Delta Chat, interoperable with Delta Chat on phone and so on working. But when it comes to actually offering something like to larger scale communities and actually making, you know, trying to get some public relation or press articles, there are some press articles about it, but that's really something for next year. Like we are rather trying to get like the base things settled and also do the user testing. So end of October, beginning November, there's going to be a 1 week gathering in Kiev, in Ukraine, where a lot of the people who appeared, probably also the Rust developers who are currently doing a new crypto implementation in Rust, which is a very interesting language to use for secure software, but also many others are going to appear. And the collaborations that we have are also across, let's say, projects and companies, organizations, and so on. There is, for example, a recent collaboration that just started is Open Exchange, as a company that maintains the Dovecard server. So all of the providers use the Dovecard open source server, and many of the maintainers are actually working with this company. And they have internally started now a chat over email project because they want to improve IMAP, like the protocol that underlies receiving messages from the mail server. They want to improve this so it becomes better for chatting. And also last week they said that A new guy is now like working 30 or 40 hours per week on DataChat, helping to improve it. So we have collaborations basically across various boundaries of projects and companies. And in all of these contexts, there's a lot of thoughts and things happening. You know, so for example, improving the latency or improving the configuration between Dovecot-based email services and DeltaChat is something that we can now do because we can actually talk with the people and they make changes in the software that gets deployed to 90% of the market. Like it's not Gmail, but 90% of the email services basically are based on this software. So the fact that we have a collaboration there actually helps us to also do things that we cannot do right now, but maybe next year. You know? So these kinds of developing these kinds of collaborations, also having a very tight loop into usability and user testing and driving things. For example, the verified group I mentioned, this secure group. Where we can also try it, yes. this verified group thing is something that needs to get user tested. Like it doesn't really matter so much what a couple of people say here. We want to really give it to activists who are kind of trying to do something with it and then get that feedback and improve the software based on this. You know, because there's arbitrary amounts of you can change defaults to this. You can have all kinds of policies on what happens when somebody changes their account, when a group member is removed, what should happen, and lots of questions, usability questions, implementation questions. But we want to drive the decision on these questions mostly on like user feedback. That's why it's always currently a bit of a rough sketch. It's not like the final thing yet, but it's still shifting a bit and kind of changing according to what we hear from many people talking back. And that includes you. I mean, it's like we take these kinds of feedbacks also from Jeremy, who left as well. So I wonder if we try at least with a few people, so you can directly see how this... What do you want to do?
I'm going to have my own bottle.
Ah, your bottle.
Okay.
Yes.
You can use any email account and create a new email account, right? And I also have four test email accounts.
So the current situation is that you either need to have an existing email account,
you wanna try?
Or you need to use one of the test accounts that you have.
But the identity is the email address.
The identity is the email address, and you can always change. I mean, you can always use a different email address later.
So,
a few of us are actually connected. And I think
if you want to try out,
do you have some test accounts?
I have mine.
Do you have
an email address?